Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. Supporting scripture from the 121st Psalms, verses 1 and 2 reads, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The base of those verses, we'd like to use a thought or subject this morning. We won't make it without God's help. We won't make it without God's help. It's just a blessing to be able to come to the house of the Lord one more time. It's only by God's grace and by his mercy that he's allowed us another opportunity to get together and to lift up the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank God for Jesus this morning. I thank God for our young people this morning and how God is even blessing them. And it's good that we have a mind to let them know that they don't have to wait until after a while. God can use them right now. Because if we let them wait until after a while, somewhere in the midst of now and after a while, the devil may get in the midst of there and sort of misdirect their direction from where you have leaded or trying to lead them to go. I thank God for allowing us to be a part of this day. And David made a statement one day, said, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. All of us have something to rejoice about. We ought to be glad. I'm glad to be here this morning. I'm glad to be able to look at your faces one more time. You don't never know when it might be the last time that that person that you're sitting beside, that person that's across on the other side of the church, this might be the last time that you see them. And we got to stop taking our lives and time for granted. Sometimes we take our way of being for granted. And I remember early in Reverend Jeter's ministry, every time that he would get up, he would always say, I thank the Lord for giving me this time to speak. And even sometimes now, he still make that statement. And that statement came to my mind because when you thank God for right now, that's what he was doing. Lord, I thank you for giving me this time to speak right now. Only thing that's guaranteed to us is right now. We can pray for long life. We can pray for better days and we can hope for better days, but we don't know what's going to happen on tomorrow. We don't even know whether we'll be here at 10 o'clock tonight. But we are here right now. So right now, I want to take time to tell God thank you. Right now, even in the midst of my trouble, I still got something to give God some praises about. And we just got to glorify the Lord, because without him, we would be nothing. As believers, there are a few things that we need to know. One thing is that the Lord God formed us from the dust of the ground, breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and then we became living souls. But yet Job tells us that man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. So in this life that God has given us, we're going to have trouble along the way. And it didn't say we're going to be here always. The Bible declares we'll be here just for a few days. Now, we can't amount our days to the days of God, but I don't care how many days God gives you, you ought to be thankful for every day that you are alive. You ought to be thankful for all of your yesterday. You can't go back and redo nothing from yesterday, but you can thank God for today and ask God, if it's in your will, lead and direct my path. Give me a better understanding so tomorrow I will make a better decision if I'm here. But also we got to realize Paul comes and tells us that it's appointed unto men once to die. And after death, you got to go to the judgment. When you go to the judgment, you don't have to worry about those that have been judging you down here. You know, we had a whole lot of folk that can point the finger, and they always got something to say about where you are in God. But as long as you know that you got your hand in God's hand, anybody know that their salvation come from God, not from somebody else? Anybody got sense enough to know that you are saved not by your own merit, but only by the grace of God? It doesn't matter how many times you say, I don't do this anymore, I don't do that anymore. It's the grace of a mighty, merciful God. And if it wasn't for the mercy of God, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We got to understand that every time we get an opportunity, we ought to give God praise. In a time such as this, when it seems as though everything that can go wrong is going wrong. It seems like as soon as you get one thing worked out, you already got two other problems on your plate. You begin to look at them problems. Sometimes you don't even look at them when you just glance that way. And you see there's another problem, there's another bill. I'm going to look this way, but ain't no need. It ain't going nowhere. Soon as you take time enough to look back, it's still right there waiting on you. And we got to learn and we got to pick up and follow through and go on and do what God would have us to do. The economy is still in the downstream. Unemployment is still on the rise. Cost of living is steadily rising. But nonetheless, God is still God. Then remember, Jesus warned us that in this life, you are going to have trials and tribulations. But he said, be of good cheer. Because of my grace and my mercy, I have already overcome the world. So there's no problem that you're going to face that I cannot bring you through. Hallelujah. I heard somebody say, if God bring you to it, he can take you through it. Anybody know anything about that? Anybody had an opportunity that God brought you in a situation? And you began to wonder, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it out. But God brought you right on through. Hallelujah, Jesus. If there ever was a time that the world needs help, it's right now. Yes, sir. When you talk about help, needing help, everywhere you look, in every walk of life, the people of God need help. Rich people need help. Don't ever think that the poor people are the only ones that worry and suffer and go through. Rich folk have pains and aches. And a money can't take away your pain. It might buy you more medication, but if God don't heal that body, you're just taking a whole lot of medication. You can have all the money in the world, and if don't nobody love you, you don't have nobody to share your wealth with. You're just a miserable person with a whole lot of material things, but you don't really have anything to hold on to. But if you got Jesus, you can hold on to something that will never let you down. That will never let nobody hurt you. Because as long as you're in God's hand, nobody, no man can pluck you out. And I come to tell Faust Chapel this morning that by the grace of a mighty God, that we got to learn how to fellowship and bond one with another. And do what the Lord tells us to do. We talk about needing help. We got to understand that we got to stop allowing other things to replace God in our lives. We talk about having a relationship with God, being in fellowship with God. But God is a jealous God. And God is tired of us having all of these other little gods. Some of us make some of our lovers our gods. Our husbands, our gods. Our wives, our gods. Our carpet, our God. Our 60-screen television is our God. Our nice automobile is our God. Our food in the refrigerator is our God. Our children is our God. Everything but God is our God. But God said, I am a true living God. Woo! Somebody better hear me this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I know I wouldn't be able to make it if I didn't have God's help. Anybody in here ever need some help? Anybody in here this morning need any help? Hallelujah, Jesus. Anybody really need any help this morning? I come to tell you about somebody that'll help you every step of the way. Give me another minute. Thank you, God. Help. To give assistance or support to aid or to contribute to. Help is defined as to be service or to be served. We need to understand that in this high-tech society that we live in, when we need help, we go and turn the computer on and we Google or we search. And all kinds of information comes out. But I wonder, what did we do for help before the computer age? I remember, glory. When I was young and we had to do research. We didn't really have money to have encyclopedias at our house. You better learn to be thankful for what you got. And don't forget where you come from. There are a few parents in the community that made that sacrifice to try to get some help in the house, to be able to help their children to get an education. But we are living in a time now when most of us need some help. I don't care how strong you are. It doesn't matter how saved and sanctified you are. At some point, everybody needs some help to get on the right track. You see, when you cannot find your way, God has a way of sending you a message through his word. And that message comes through his word by reading or through the messengers of God that God has sent. And the lesson for today is that we got to learn to listen to what God is telling us to do. The good thing we learn in the lesson today is that even when we do bad, God is still good. Even when we dig our own hole, God is still a merciful and forgiving God. Paul says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that means everybody in here has sinned and fallen short on God at some point in your life. It is God's desire that everybody in here will be able to look beyond the fact that you fell short and believe that that's why Jesus died for you. And if you're a believer in the resurrection of Jesus the Christ, the mercies of God, then you don't have to worry about how you're going to make it. When we look here, sometimes in life we just need a little help and a little guidance. We look back over what we've been studying over the last couple of months. Just finished a study on the book of Joshua. How he kept the people reminded of how important it was to keep the commandments of God and to walk in the way of God. But as we walk back through the pages of history, Israel was God's chosen people. He loved them and he showed them mercy over and over again. But the children of Israel are just like we are today. They were hard-headed, they were stubborn, and they found themselves doing whatever it was that they wanted to do. They did things to the degree to where they found themselves in slavery and bondage. But God loved them so much that God said, I'm going to still deliver you. I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to free you. I'm going to make everything all right. But in order for you to get where I need you to be, you got to have a leader. So he appointed Moses. Moses led the people out of bondage, out of slavery, on his way to the promised land. And out of all the things that Moses did, God still decided Moses won't make it to the promised land. See, there's a lot of good leaders that have did a great things for us, and we got to learn how to listen to what they told us to do. Moses did what God told him to do, and then Moses' time was up, and Moses died. Before Moses died, Moses realized that I got to prepare somebody because I'm going to still need another leader. So the Bible declared that Joshua came into the picture. So when Joshua came in, God said, look here, Joshua. The same way I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Everywhere your feet strike ground, I'm going to give you control. All you got to do, bring the people back to me. Get the people back in order. Keep the commandments of God. And never turn a bow down on God. Joshua was another great leader. Did exactly what the Lord told him to do. And after the Lord blessed and Joshua died, the Bible says Joshua was 110 years old, so he had a long time to do what God told him to do. All of the people that Joshua taught along the way, the generation right behind Joshua, they heard what Joshua had to say about the Lord. But something happened. That generation died. So now here we are with what I describe as a wayward generation. Look like us, doesn't it? Folk that are stubborn and won't be obedient to the word of God. Folk that won't hold the principles of God. Somebody that does not have moral character or self-respect. Somebody that act like they don't know that God said that I have a hell that you're going to go to if you don't live right. So the Bible declares that when the people got so wayward and they started doing all kinds of crazy mess, God got mad. Bible said God got hot. You ever been hot? It's one thing to be a little upset. But when you get hot, watch out. Ain't no more I told you so. It's time for action now. God had gotten hot. So in the midst of his anger, he realized, you know what I'm going to do? The very folk that fighting against you, I'm going to make them rule over you. I'm going to turn you back into slaves. You didn't appreciate being free. So now, the people are so crazy minded that they forgot who the real God is. The Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. They forgot the commandments of God. They forgot that God is a jealous God. And they began to serve idol gods. They began to do anything and everything that they wanted to do. The Bible declares that they began to serve the God of Baal, a God of fertility, a God that told people that they could be productive in mankind. The God of love messed their minds up. Started doing anything that they thought that they wanted to do. But how many of you know that you just can't do everything that you want to do? There comes a time you got to do what God tells you to do. The Bible declares that the generation had become wicked. They gathered at their fathers and they arose, and this generation, the Bible declares, was worse than their fathers were. So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forsook the Lord. They angered the Lord, and they all got hot with them. Stood before their enemies, and whatsoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil. And the Lord had said, as of the Lord had sworn unto them, they were greatly distressed. So God had gotten so mad at them that God said, anything that you do, everywhere that you go, I'm going to be against you. I'm going to turn everything that used to be in your favor, I'm going to turn it to your bad. Everything that used to be good to you, I'm going to make it be bad to you. The thing that I used to bring you out of, I'm going to put you back down in the dirt. I'm going to make you realize that I am the Lord thy God. And I'm a God that don't want you to think you can do anything. I stopped by to tell you that the Lord said that I looked out upon the people and I need me a new leader. So now that Joshua is gone, God realized that the people need somebody. God being such a merciful God, the next leaders that came in place were called judges. These judges were put in position because of God. God was the one that adorned and made them put that position on their back. And said, I'm going to give you a position that you will be able to take care of the people when they come into a conflict. When things begin to get bad, I got to have somebody that will be able to lead them. Somebody that will deliver them. I want to have somebody that's going to get you away from those that have spoiled you. In other words, you've been around some folk that done corrupted you. You better be careful who you hang with. Because if everybody that you don't know the Lord, if you hang with any and everybody, you might start acting like them anybody. But if you hang with the right kind of folk, if you hang with believers that believe in the power of God, God realized that I'm tired of you acting like you got everything under control. I'm tired of you doing this, that, and the other. You're serving the wrong kind of God. You're serving a God that can't do you no good. I want to let you know that if you're going to serve a God, you better serve the God that sits high and the God that looked down low. When the Lord raised up the judges, the Lord was with the judge. He said, as long as I be with the judge, everything is going to be all right. So the judge began to lead the people in the right way. And as long as the judge was alive, the people did just what the Lord wanted them to do. But the Bible declared that as soon as that judge died, the people went back to the same old thing. That's why the Bible declares that they went out of a whoring looking for other gods. You better learn how to look for the real God. You better learn how to look for the true living God. But the Bible says that the Lord repented because he heard their groanings. He heard them crying out. He heard them asking for mercy. He heard them saying, Lord, forgive me of the sin that I've done in my life. He heard them say, I don't want to live like this anymore. Anybody in here ever made that statement that I'm tired of living a wicked life? And Lord, I want you to come on in my life. I stopped by to tell somebody this morning that you cannot make it without God. Without God, you're going to need his help. And anytime you get in a bad situation, David said, all you got to do is look up to the hills from which cometh your help, knowing that your help comes from the Lord. If you know where your help comes from, He made the heavens and the earth. I'm glad this morning that I know where my help comes from. When I need help, all I got to do is call on the Lord. He is my helper, and he'll do just what I need him to do. Anybody need help this morning? All you got to do is call on Jesus. Anybody know that that help is right by your side? Anybody know that the Lord is a healer? He's a keeper and a way maker. He's a bright and morning star. He's a lily of the valley. Oh, hallelujah. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, all that he done for me, and I think about the hills of Zion, I look up to those hills. I call on a mighty God, and my God never slumber nor sleep. Even if I call him in the midnight hour, he is still right away. The sun shall not smite him by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve us from all evil. He shall preserve our soul. The Lord shall preserve our going out and our coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. And I stop by to tell us today that you cannot make it without God's help. You're going to need God along the way. Anybody want God in their life? Anybody need help from the Lord? Anybody a little weak in their body? God will renew your strength. He will pick you up and turn you around. Make some things happen in your life. He will make you realize that you're not in it all by yourself. All you got to do is call on him. All you got to do is call on him. When you need help, you better learn how to call on him. They say call 911, but I want to call J-E-S-U-S. Call 911 might not get there with the right kind of equipment that I need. But my God got everything that I need. And all I got to do is call on the name of Jesus. I can't make it. I can't make it without the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you need some help this morning, all you got to do is call on the name of Jesus. God put leaders in place. But the key is that we got to be obedient. Listen, be obedient, and follow through in doing what God said do. When you do what God say do, everything gonna fall right into place. I tell you, it may not be systematic because there's some things you have to learn how to wait on. But how many of you know that when you're waiting on God, that space in between while you're waiting, some of us don't realize the inner strength that God is building up on the inside. Some of us don't realize how God is putting you in a position where you can make that foundation so you can brace yourself. You ever felt like something about to happen? Then God all of a sudden began to just give you that inner strength. And you get your feet planted, flat, and you're ready for whatever comes. Strong wind come and blow. But you don't have to fall over. All you got to do is let the wind come, let the wind go. God will still be right there by your side. I thank God for that scripture. I will look up to the hills from whence cometh my help.